Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm singing news of the greatest.
Unto himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale merely for the price of one's faith. As I was saying, I was thinking that I was going to do something. We've chanted this bhajan with devotees many times. We've talked about it many times. And it's a song composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he had written the treatise known as Godruma Kalpatavi, wherein he describes what is the Namhata, or the marketplace of the holy name. And I'm wondering if anybody here, having discussed this many times, we'll have a little interactive program, can tell me what does it mean to have a marketplace where the holy name is being sold? What is being meant there? Because at least 45 years ago, when I first came in contact with Krishna consciousness, the theme, which was very prominent at that time, is it's free. Freely distributed. So, and Prabhupada emphasized that point. His followers emphasized that point. And Srila Prabhupada really spoke very strongly. In fact, he would never name anybody, but he would oftentimes allude that people who are selling mantras, the mantras are, it's not the best practice. Mantras are not meant to be sold, because no profit should be gained from transcendental knowledge, transcendental wisdom, what to speak of, no profit should be gained for the distribution of something as valuable as Krishna's holy names. Krishna very kindly manifests himself in his names to make himself so easily accessible to everyone. And what is that story? Was it Ramanujacharya? Mm-hmm. Don't tell, don't tell anyone. Yes, he gave an instruction. Who was it? Gostipurna. Was it Gostipurna? I can't remember. I think it was Gostipurna, his spiritual master. He instructed his disciple not to give this mantra out to anybody. And this mantra will, anyone who hears it will deliver it. So still he decided he would go out to the rooftops and he would tell everybody, I've cut something very valuable. And he would call all the local people, please come and hear. And he would tell everybody to please chant this mantra. And when his spiritual master heard him, he was very angry. He said, what have you done? I've told you not to give this mantra to anyone else. It was a secret mantra I've given you. And then he said to his spiritual master, and he said, actually, I realized that it was a secret mantra, but you said anybody who chants this mantra could get liberated. Therefore, I was prepared to go to hell for disobeying your instructions. And therefore, I decided I would go against your instructions. Even if I had to go to hell, everyone else could be liberated, and I would go to hell. And when his spiritual master heard his disciple speak in this way, he fell down and prostrated himself before him and said, actually, you are my guru. You're not my disciple, you're my guru. And he got understood and began crying, because he was prepared to suffer for the offense of disobeying the instructions, because he wanted everyone else to get the opportunity to get salvation by distributing the holy name. So here's an example of the name is freely distributed. But here, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is saying that there's a marketplace of the holy name, and it's been opened. Lord Nityananda is the proprietor, and in this marketplace, he's selling the holy name wholesale. Okay, he's reduced the price. You get the wholesale price instead of the retail price. And he's saying that for the price of one's faith. So how do we, can anybody at least suggest, how do we put this together with our understanding of at least our initial contact with Krishna consciousness? And as we've learned over the years, not only that, our philosophy is that we should freely distribute the holy name and make it accessible to anyone who wants it. And so I could go on and give a whole talk about this topic, but I'm looking for interactive dialogue. If somebody could please help me understand, where did we go off track? Yes, Shambharupa.
You know, with the marketplace and an item that's desirable, there's a price to pay, but it doesn't necessarily mean money, monetary value, but something of importance, like a barter. Like what I have something that you want, you have, you know. So I'm thinking, in the marketplace of the holy name, our faith is the most important thing that we have. We place that faith in the holy name. That's
what. And what is faith in this respect in the marketplace? Mm-hmm. What's it compared to?
Compared to?
Yeah.
I guess you could say what would speak of the monetary value.
Yeah, currency.
Currency.
Yeah. Currency. So, therefore, what's being implied here is that if you come to this marketplace, Lord Nityananda, he's the wholesaler. He's reduced the price. He's making it accessible by making it wholesale to everybody. And he's asking the price of one's faith. So, can you go on and explain? You're right. Everything is right so far. How is that freely distributing, if there's a price being asked?
If it's freely distributed?
Yeah.
It's because we all have faith, and therefore we all have that currency to give. You're not necessarily in a highborn caste, you're not necessarily in a wealthy family, you're not necessarily qualified, but we all have faith. That's one thing that we all have.
Oh, could you elaborate on that? That's interesting.
Well, faith is just what we take shelter in, what we know to be true, what we are willing to direct our consciousness towards, what we're willing to embrace as our life and soul. You know, it's the thing that is important to us. Now, what's important to us is a different story, but we all have something that drives us in life that we work towards, that we look towards, that we take shelter of. We all have something. Mm-hmm. You could be a pauper in the street, but you at least have some hope. You have some something.
What are examples Prabhupada gives? Prabhupada gives simple analogies. If you want to go, he gives an analogy about if a person wants to go someplace, he gets on a bus, he has faith that the sign on the bus is actually going to take him to the destination.
Yeah.
He has to have faith there.
Yeah.
Another example is when they come to Nimai Chaitanya for treatment, they look on the wall and they see how much credibility they have as a doctor.
Yeah.
So Nimai has to have all his documents there to give faith to the patients that if he's going to stick all those needles in you, he better know what he's doing.
I have him sit right here too.
It's another example Prabhupada gives.
Or maybe another example Prabhupada gives of like the post office. You know, you have a post box. And you know, it's not just any box you can place your card into, but if it says it has the post office marking on it, the symbol and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you place your letter in there, it will get to its recipient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not see who's picking it up, who's handling it, who's driving it, but you know, okay, this is an official post office. So that's another analogy that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm. So faith is there. Mm-hmm. We all have to have faith to exist. So, therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is recommending that if you're also willing to invest your faith in all of these processes, then why not invest some faith in chanting Hare Krishna and see what you get back for returns? In fact, it was quite some time ago, I remember. In fact, I remember it was in Boston. I was coming from the airport. And it was a time when there was a big gathering of investors. I think Donald Trump was there, actually. This is years ago. George Foreman, Warren Buffett. They were having a big... the big names. And there's a huge billboard I saw. And I think they were doing this in many places in America. They were trying to get people to come and they would pay for tickets to learn how to get good returns on their investments. You know, and obviously people who are successful in the business world who know how to make good investments and make a lot of money, they're able to give people have faith that if I invest some money to associate with these people, I may learn how to make good investments and become like them. Right? Essentially, that was the spirit behind the gathering. They were having these big conventions, and big names were there, big-time investors. Those were three I remember was at the time. And people were paying huge amounts of money for a ticket. Obviously, they must have had some faith that they had to invest some faith to go and pay such huge amounts of money, hoping that what they would learn there would give them some good returns on their future investments. So, in the marketplace of the Holy Name, it's a very similar analogy. That the only difference is in the marketplace of the Holy Name, the only currency that's required is faith in chanting Hare Krishna. If one has a little faith, and because the returns are guaranteed if the faith is there. I oftentimes think of that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Yaidam paramam guyam madbhikteshva bhajyashati. He says that for one who explains the secret of devotional service to others, for him devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he comes back to me. Na chattasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. He says, there's no servant in this world who's more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So Krishna gives his guarantee. When Krishna gives a guarantee, he says, if you explain the truth about pure devotional service to others, then I guarantee you'll come back to me. Now, when you get a guarantee from Krishna, that's a pretty solid investment. It's not like, you know, putting your money in a bank, and you know, so many banks, they have these guarantees that are given that it, you know, to protect your deposit. You know, still, if there's a depression, if there's a crash, nobody's going to be able to guarantee your deposits. But when Krishna gives a guarantee, nobody can obstruct him from fulfilling his guarantee, because he is who he is. He's the best insurance. He's the best is it guarantor. Because his will is absolute, that nobody can obstruct his will. And when he declares that I will always protect anybody whose faith, who has implicit faith in me, then it's a guarantee. But of course, the question then comes in, well, what does this faith mean? And the process of bhakti is a process of ever-increasing faith. One who has implicit faith in Krishna, yasya devi para bhakti yata devi tata gaurav. One who has implicit faith in Krishna and in Krishna's representatives, then for him, all the imports of Vedic wisdom will automatically become revealed. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains those who are faithful, then for them, they get yayatamam pravajante tangsatava bhajamyaham. Says those who are faithful, to the degree that you surrender to me, I'll reciprocate accordingly. If you only surrender a little, and if your faith is not strong, then Krishna understands the degree of one's faith, and he'll help one. He says, Ananyas chintaya tomam yejana payupashante tesham nitya buyukta anam yoga kshema vahamyaham. He says, if you meditate on me and you try, you make this endeavor to surrender to me, then whatever faith that you have, I'll preserve for you, and whatever you're lacking, I'll help you get it. Essentially, that's what he's saying. Because Krishna is distributing the same commodity, which is faith. And therefore, we see so many examples that faith, it's not blind. Srila Prabhupada actually, he discouraged blind faith. He said that we should not simply accept this philosophy, this teaching blindly, but one should test it. So, testing means that I will take up, I will chant Hare Krishna, I have some faith that if I go on chanting Hare Krishna, then all the fruits that can be obtainable by chanting Hare Krishna will someday become revealed to me, because I have firm faith that Shraddha Shabdhi Vishvas Kahida Shurida Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sava Kama Kritahaya. Shraddha means firm, confident faith that if I just simply go on chanting Hare Krishna, then all subsidiary duties can be fulfilled. Conversely, even if I perfectly perform all my subsidiary duties and I give up chanting Hare Krishna, then what is really gained in the ultimate sense? What does a devotee want to purchase when he comes to the marketplace of the holy name? Right. And that's why the marketplace of the holy name, Lord Nityananda has opened this marketplace, because he understood that the greatest commodity, the most valuable treasure, the topmost, the supreme, topmost source of self-satisfaction, the supreme shelter, the supreme resting place for the mind, the supreme resting place for our desires, the supreme resting place for anything that we could possibly hanker for in this life, can be found in Krishna. Prabhupada explains that the cause of disturbance is due to a lack of an ultimate goal. But when one actually has an ultimate goal of life, then, and when that ultimate goal is Krishna, then one finds the final resting place where one can repose his desires and feel sheltered and protected, satisfied. And therefore we see so many examples, we hear so many stories of great Vaishnavas whose faith was so strong they could tolerate any inconvenience necessary because their only desire was simply to serve and to please Krishna. And because their only desire was simply to serve and to please Krishna, Krishna understood that if a person has unflinching, implicit faith in me, where else can he go if I don't give him protection? That's the final. He's depending on me. There's nobody else. He says, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's no truth superior to me. Natasya karyam karasaranam vijate, natachamas chabjikas shudishate. There's nobody equal to Krishna. There's nobody greater than Krishna. And this is, of course, the most rewarding realization which is available to a devotee, because only a devotee can understand Krishna's personality. Person. Nobody else can understand Krishna's personality. He's not willing to reveal himself. Even if one performs very severe austerities, atapi te deva padambuja dvaya prasada lisana gurhita evihi. Krishna says, unless one gets a drop of mercy, Lord Brahma says, unless one gets a drop of mercy from Krishna's lotus feet, they can never understand the greatness of his personality. Even if one studies the Vedas for millions of births, even if one performs all kinds of severe sacrifices, it's not possible to know Krishna's personality. He reserves the right to reveal that personality of his, how much he loves and reciprocates with those who love him. It's a natural, loving exchange. But what is a symptom of love? What is a symptom of love? For a person, if we want to know Krishna, the symptom of love is, as we Prabhupada oftentimes explains, is the symptom of love is to serve without expecting anything in return. That is one of the symptoms of love. Another symptom of love, as given by Rupa Goswami, is to be motivated to exclusively please the beloved. That's another symptom of love. Right? Not only to exclusively please as the beloved wants. Anya bilasa jashunya jnana kamanya navitam adu kuneno krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama. That uttama bhakti, the highest love, is to be freed from the desires from fruit of gain, to be free from the desire for liberation, even for liberation. And it means to render service to Krishna as Krishna desires, that is the symptom of love. And Krishna is so kind, so merciful, and he understands that love is a very, very high, exalted experience, and it's not so easily obtainable. But he's so kind that he appears as Chaitanya and as Nityananda to make it so easily accessible that he accepts even just a little faith as a means for obtaining that love. He accepts even the desire, to have that love, he accepts as love. Even the desire. He came to awaken that. That's what Lord Nityananda came to awaken. He came to awaken that taste, that desire. Awakening of a desire to love. But love, it's Prabhupada. I oftentimes, this is a one song, bhajan, actually I was going to even sing it tonight. But where is it? The songbook. Right here. He talks about this. He says here, he talks about prema ratanadana, helaya harayana. Spiritual life means to develop real love. Everyone says love. There's so many signboards, so many papers. Love, love. But there's no love, this is illusion. It's lust. Love for intoxication. Love for sex, love for this, this is going on. So actual love means love. This word can be applicable only with Krishna, with God, because we are created for that purpose. To love means to love Krishna. So that is wanted. That is spiritual love. So prema ratana, I could achieve that transcendental position of love, but I am neglecting. Then of course, this is another bhajan. But he's talking about love. It's commonly used. But love means without expecting anything in return. It's not so easily. Prabhupada says the closest thing to love in this world is the love a mother has for the child. It's closest. The mother will tolerate. Even when the child is acts contrary. I think of what I did to my mother. My sister here, she knows. It's the closest.
Is that what you just said? Said that we were made for that love?
What I just read?
Yeah. What was the sentence?
He said, to love means to love Krishna. So that is wanted, that is spiritual love. So prema ratan, I could achieve that transcendental position of love, but I am neglecting. Something else?
I think it might have been a sentence before that.
Something before. Everyone says love. There's so many signboards, so many papers. Love, love. But there is no love. This is illusion. It's lust. Love for intoxication. Love for sex. Love for this. This is going on. So actual love means this word can be applicable only with Krishna. With God. And of course, we know that if one loves Krishna, then automatically one loves Krishna's parts and parcels as well.
And that's our innate.
That's our innate.
That's who we are anyway. So that kind of comes back to what Shamrukh was saying before, how it's the faith is actually innate. It's actually there already.
It's already.
It's really the only. So therefore, it's in that sense, it's free because we already have it. It's not like we have to get something extra. We don't have to become more intelligent. We don't have to become more beautiful. We don't have to become anything different. It's already there. That ability to have faith is actually there. So it is free, even though he's saying it's the the cost of it is faith.
Yes.
But that is...
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunai Shravanadi Suchitite Koye Udoi. Pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. Doesn't come from any other source. Shravanadi Suchitite Koye Udoi. But when one hears about Krishna, the catalyst to bring it out, which is already there. The same thing when one comes, hears the name from Nityananda or from somebody, the song is Dalalya Gita. The Dalal, he is what's it called? Dalal. He's not the salesman. He's the one that takes and gets a commission.
Broker,
yes. The broker. And he says, come, let us go together to Nityananda Maharajan. I'll bring you, you can get the name and I'll get my commission. So what he's actually saying is, you get wholesale.
And I still get a commission.
And what's the commission? Faith.
More faith,
yeah. But very good point about free. You don't have to give anything that you don't already have.
The faith is realizing that everything else is not what you have to pay. In other words, you don't need, again, to be more beautiful or more handsome or smarter or have this or have that or have money or anything. Give up thinking that's important. It's only faith.
In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one of the workers in the marketplace is somebody who checks the currency. Mm. Yeah, it's in Godruma Kalpatavi. Mm. I have it right here. Mm. Godruma Kalpatavi. He says...
Counterfeiters are real.
Yeah. Yeah, he says right here. He says, rules of payment. Pennies, quarters, half dollars, and gold coins are not the real currency to purchase the commodities sold in the marketplace of the holy name. Transcendental faith is the only currency acceptable. If anyone tries to purchase the above commodities with ordinary material currency, or in other words, if anyone wants to purchase the holy name by material desire, he's making a great mistake. No one should try to purchase the name by material attempt, for his effort will simply be a waste of time. And he also says, besides rules of payment, he says, but he does. It's another place, but he just says this is a person there that checks the currency to make sure people are paying genuine currency. And then he describes what false notes are. They're called mikitaka. The devotee who in his private conversation always discusses with great faith the transcendental qualities of devotional service, free from all material desires, free from the desires for material knowledge, and the results of fruit activities has got the finance with which to purchase the name. Where there is discussion of other desires, karma and jnana, there are only false notes. If one tries to give a false note in exchange for the name, he gets a counterfeit holy name, namabhas, or the shadow of the name. The trader's goods are pure and unblemished, but according to the condition of the customer, those unpolluted and pure goods, the holy name, may become a mere shadow of the name. So, in essence, if you come in there saying, you know, sometimes people come and they want Of course, we understand that even if one has some material interest, he can still become purified. There's that story about the thief that wanted to steal the jewels from Krishna. It's a very wonderful story. He had this whole idea. He wanted to steal Krishna's jewels. He was so attracted to Krishna's jewels, and he made all these arrangements to steal them. And every time Krishna knew that the mentality of the thief, and he just kept him around, because he was thinking the more he stays around, the more his desires will change. And then, of course, that's what happened. Finally, the thief realized. And of course, there's a story with Lord Nityananda in Chaitanya Bhagavat of the thief who wanted to rob Lord Nityananda from all his valuable jewels that he was wearing at the time. And he had this plan, and he was thinking that he had a band of thieves. And he told his band of thieves, he said, because Nityananda had received as gifts all these valuable jewels, and in order to reciprocate with the person who gave them those gifts, he wore them, although he was obviously not attached to them, but he wore them. So he wore silver, gold, bangles, and somebody may look at Nityananda and think he was just, you know, a gratifier, but actually he was just accepting the offering that was given to him, these gifts, and he wore all these gold bangles and jewels. And the thief saw that, and he told all his co-thieves, he said, "Why do we have to go out and do small-time petty crimes? We can go to one place and get everything we need. We just have to just steal all the jewels off Nityananda." So they made a plot. They made a plot to steal all the jewels off the body of Nityananda. And then, first night, they came there, and Lord Nityananda was in the house. I can't remember whose house he was in, but he was in somebody's house. And they all were sitting there, and they were discussing what they were going to do with all the different jewels. The thieves were already calculating how they were going to spend their booty. And somebody was saying, I'll take the bracelet. Somebody else was saying, I'll take the gold rings. Somebody else was saying. And while they were sitting and talking, and it was nighttime, they all fell asleep. And they woke up in the morning, and then they realized that it was too late. It was the darkness had gone. They couldn't do it. So then they said, "Okay, that's all. We'll try another time." So they came back a second time. They banded all together, and they came to the same place. And they found that these huge guards, gentries, they were 10 feet tall. And they were guarding the building. And they said, "Well, maybe this is not the right time." And they tried to figure out why all these guards came there. They began speculating as to why they appeared there. And they said, "Why don't we come back in about a week once the guards are gone?" So then they came back in a week. They banded together. And this time when they attempted to go and to steal the jewels, then all of a sudden the torrential rains began falling, and then hail started falling, and then all the thieves, they fell into these huge pits and began getting bitten by scorpions and leeches and by mosquitoes. And then the pits, they were trapped in the pits, and the water was filling up, and they were suffering, intense suffering. And then all of a sudden one thief realized, all these things couldn't have possibly happened. He said they realized that I wanted to steal these jewels from Nityananda, and Nityananda must be none other than, must be empowered, must be the supreme. And he realized, I surrender, I don't want these jewels anymore. And then he went in and he surrendered to the lotus feet of Nityananda. So someone may come with a material motive, but the Lord is very expert. He knows how to purify even the most impure heart. If one comes to him, akama savakama ka moksha kama udarahi tivrena bhakti yogina yajita purusha param. Whether one is filled with desires, he has no desires, desiring liberation, a person who has broader intelligence till approach Krishna. So Krishna, he's very expert. He knows how to bring those, even with a little faith, even those who have some material motives, he knows how to make their motives pure. But the way to make the motives pure is that one has to have faith. Otherwise, one will get, as described here, if one comes to get the, tries to purchase the holy name with what is called the mekataka, or false notes. He said then, according to the condition of the customer, those unpolluted and pure goods, the holy name may become a mere shadow of the name. But who is the one who has faith? That the devotee who in his private conversation, sometimes people in their private conversations, they get together and they try to calculate, you know, what kind of business can I get from this private conversation? But here he's saying those who in their private conversations, they always discuss with great faith the qualities of devotional service, free from all material desires, free from the desires of material knowledge and the results of fruitive activities. He's got the finance with which to purchase the pure name. The pure name. Why? Because he has faith that if I simply take every opportunity I possibly have in private conversations to discuss with others about the nature of pure devotional service, then the result is that one's faith increases and one begins to develop more and more faith. And then, of course, as faith increases, then awakening of some attraction or some taste, and there's different levels of this faith that begin to manifest in the heart. But, as we said, the actual commodity which is for sale in the marketplace of the Holy Name is not wealth, it's not fame, it's not power, it's none other than just simply to develop one's love for Krishna, which is the greatest prema ratana dana. Prema ratana dana, which means it's the most valuable jewel of prema. That's another song. But so I didn't finish reading about the marketplace of the Holy Name with this bhajan, what he's saying. And I'll just finish reading that. Dalaliya Gita. Boros Kirkabur Gai. So, next verse says, such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale, merely for the price of one's faith. Seeing the assembly of devotees eagerly waiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each of them to test their qualification. Then he sells them the name by bargaining for his price accordingly. Bargains too. Oh, my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me, for I am now going to meet this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will also take my due commission, and in this way all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful. Accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gaura, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you are renounced, then just live in the forest. Either way, nothing more will trouble you. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Bhakti Vinod loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter. Can I chant one more bhajan about the name? That's a simple one. It's called Bolo Hari Bol. You have obtained a human birth. Now chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, whether you are in happiness or distress. Chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. O brothers, whether in prosperity or misfortune, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, whether you live at home or in the forest. Chant the name of Hari. Remaining in this material world for Krishna's purposes, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, O brothers. Giving up the association of non-devotees and chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Falling at the feet of the Vaishnavas, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Chant the names of Gaura and Nityananda. Chant the names of Gaura and Gadadhar. Chant the names of Gaura and Advaita. Okay.
Bolo Hari Bol. 두께 작고 두께 작고 몰라 하는 거 두께 작고 두께 작고 몰라 하는 거
Oh, no.
Any questions? Mahavishnu?
I have a problem with faith.
Okay.
How?
Don't we all?
When we are struggling and we're not seeing a result from our sadhana or chanting or saving or endeavor, oftentimes we need a, what's the word? A result, a reciprocation, if you will, from Krishna. That needs to keep me going. When we don't see that result, reciprocation, we don't see that things are chanting, we're still struggling with issues. How do we maintain faith to keep going? What are some things we can do to keep the faith strong, even when we're not seeing the result in reciprocation?
Well, essentially, what we talked about, I mean, I can expand on it, but essentially what we talked about is that if we want to increase our faith, we have to make a good investment in those who have better, have shown results with better returns. It's the same. That's why I use that example of Donald Trump, Coach Foreman, Warren Buffett. They were the emblems or one of many of persons who demonstrated they know how to make good investments and get good returns. And because if you go and you hear from them, then you think, well, I can do it. You get a little, you know, a little shot in the air. I can do it. Yeah, I think I understand better how I can get some result. And it's the same principle. The only difference is the commodity is not, as it's described, not quarters, half dollars, dollars, gold coins. Commodity is increasing one's faith. And really, essentially, the only way to really get that increase of faith is by associating with those who have it. By that association, if we're really greedy for it, even if they may not have everything, but they have something. I mean, I oftentimes even tell devotees, I had this experience when I was associating with a godbrother of mine, Hor Govinda Maharaj, to which I considered to be like one of the major catalysts for me also when I spent time with him just discussing intimate topics. And I could see here somebody with, like, he had all the goods as far as I could see. The fact is, I went in to have a conversation with him to discuss another topic, and he surprised me with the conversation that he had with me. And it's not just that one, but I can speak from my own experience that the catalysts, I just use that as one example, for my own spiritual life is I cannot imagine surviving without association. I just can't. It's like, and you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Rupa Goswami, they've all given, you know, this is the criteria for the development of faith. Rupa Goswami says that, you know, in Upadeshamrita, that we should offer respect to those persons who've been chanting the holy name of the Lord, but still who may not be so exemplary, ideal in their character, but still we offer respect to them from a distance. We offer obeisances to those who are fully engaged in service. We physically come before them and offer our obeisances. And to those who are devoid of the propensity of criticizing others and who are fully engaged in service to the Lord, then we should hear from and faithfully serve them. And Rupa Goswami explains, and Prabhupada says in the commentary, that this is required. This is essential. It comes right after the verse, the Dati Pratigrinati Guyamakati Prichati, which talks about loving exchanges between devotees. And one of those loving exchanges of devotees is to reveal one's mind and confidence and inquire confidentially. This is a loving exchange. If we don't have loving exchanges, then it's really hard to get love. It's really hard to get, if all the exchanges are just simply based on, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in our private conversations, if we really don't really develop or cultivate the desire for love, then we'll get what we want. But we won't get love. But if in our private conversations we take advantage of those who have something to offer, we reveal our mind and confidence and inquire confidentially. And Rupa Goswami says, this is how to experience love in the association of devotees. Without association, it's very difficult. And yes, we can go on, we can struggle, we can pray. There are different ways for looking for signs. I mean, the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam talks about all the different gurus that one can see signs of how Krishna is instructing him through different gurus. And, you know, there's different ways that one can look for signs but, you know, it requires a very advanced stage or elevated stage to be able to do that oneself, to go to the forest and just enter the forest and expect that to become like Dhruva or Prahlad or Narada, excuse me, enter into the forest, perform meditation. Look what Dhruva did. He had deep faith in the words of Narada Muni. He performs very severe austerities and how to get the darshan of the Lord. He was, you know, drinking, he was eating only a few roots, dried roots every few days, and then he was taking a breath once every 9 days or something like that. Severe austerities after 6 months. He had such faith. But can we compare ourselves to that? No. So therefore, our acharyas have recommended that the best way to increase faith is to seek out the association of those who have something we can invest in their association. Tayite saravasavi sava sangha vivajita sangaste patate pratya sangha dosha harahite. Lord Kapila Dev told Devahuti, O my mother, virtuous lady, seek out the association of devotees who are speaking about Krishna, who talk varashriya gata mishta shinvanti katayanti cha, devotees who speak about Krishna, hear from them, right? He says, seek out. And then by hearing from them, then what happens? And by developing an attachment to associating with them in these purposes, then it will counteract all the pernicious effects of the attachments which are anchoring us in this world. And without sangha, you want to add something? I can see that you're very...
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I can see your wheels are churning. I want Nimai to...
So the wheels are churning that on one... Because in that song you were singing, Nityananda, it says that Nityananda accepts only our faith. So that's very telling for our process, the process of Krishna consciousness, in one way is simply to awaken our faith. Our faith is already there, but to purify our heart so that we're really feeling the very essence of what faith is, which is our constitutional position as a part and parcel of Krishna, is faith in God, faith in Krishna. So I'm sitting here thinking, because Mahavishnu Prabhu, I was thinking the same thing. So when someone is not inspired, or if they're having challenges, or Maya's attacking, or in one sense, it's a sign that, and I'll speak for myself, it's a sign that I'm not going deep enough, I'm not digging deep enough to connect with my faith. You know, we're not digging deep enough to find that faith. So to find that faith, there's a, you know, I'm thinking of a couple ways. One is to pray for higher association, for that association that, I mean, that's probably one of the most important prayers as devotees that we could have, really, is to pray for that association that inspires our faith.
I was just reading Narasam Das Thakur, yeah, Nila Prema Dana, where he was beating his head against a stone, lamenting, because where are they all gone? Who am I going to associate with now? And then I was reading the part when he went to Vrindavan, and when he found out from some Brahmin who met him that Rupa and Sanatan had departed, and Narottam just went, oh my God, I've been living my whole life just waiting to go to Vrindavan for Rupa and Sanatan. And then he told him, but Jiva Goswami is still there, and Raghunath Das is still there. And he felt some hope in his heart, and go to Vrindavan. He had been praying his whole life for that Sangha. His whole life. Been praying for that Sangha.
When it comes to prayer, when it comes to praying, how does, I don't want to say like how does one pray in the way of in humble mind with sincerity, but do we pray directly to Krishna? Do we pray to Guru? Do we pray to Prabhupada? How?
We certainly can pray to Krishna because Krishna is in our heart. And if we pray to Krishna, please give me, as Nimai already just gave evidence, best prayer to Krishna is, please give me the association of devotees who can inspire me and teach me how to serve you. That's the best prayer. It's the best prayer. When I oftentimes cite the prayer of Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur was standing before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya was giving out benedictions to all of his associates, Haridas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya was asking all of his associates, now ask something for me. Ask something. And Haridas Thakur said, what qualification do I have to ask anything from you? I don't remember you. I never remember you. And then he gave the example of how Draupadi, when she was in great difficulty, she remembered you, and you came and protected her. So he remembered Draupadi. He said, but I'm not like Draupadi. I don't remember you. And then he said, that Prahlad, when he was facing with such great difficulties and turmoil, his father tried to kill him. And he remembered you. And when he remembered you, you came and protected him. The Pandavas, when they were in great difficulty, when Durvasa Muni appeared, and they were in the forest, and they had nothing to offer Durvasa Muni, they remembered you, and they remembered you. And you came and you protected them. Draupadi, she was being disrobed by Hare Krishna, I forgot. Dushasana. And she realized, oh, I can only depend on Krishna. She remembered you. And but Haridas was giving all the evidence. He said, even Ajamil, he remembered you. They all remembered you, but I don't remember you. What qualification do I have? I don't remember you, so you're asking me to ask you something. He said, but although I'm so unfit and so unqualified, because I don't remember you, but you're asking me to ask you for something. So he says, therefore I ask you, please let me take birth in the house of your devotees. Because if in the association of devotees, I'll never be able to forget you. Because your devotees are always glorifying you. So he prays directly to Lord Chaitanya. In fact, then he said, better let me take birth as a dog in the house of your devotee. And he said, let me take birth as a dog and simply take the remnants of their foodstuffs. So this is a prayer to pray to the Lord. Give me the association of those who help me remember you. Because on my own, I don't remember you. If Haridas Thakur says that, well, where does that put us? On my own, I can't. It's too difficult. So we pray to Krishna. Please give me association of devotees who will help me remember you. Pray to devotees. Please help me to remember Krishna.
Pray
the holy names, not different from Krishna. They're all approachable. They're all approachable. I'm not going to go late tonight, if it's forgivable. If you'll forgive.
I'm thinking of something sarcastic, but I'm not going to say
it. Because I think it's Prashadam too, isn't it?
Yes.
What time is it? Yeah.
It is 9:15.
50?
9:15.
1:05. Okay.
Yes. Perfect.
Is it okay? We can stop here?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Swami Ki.
Jai.
Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.